Well, we are very excited to have Miss Stacey Wilbur with us here on the podcast. Thank you.
Welcome.
And we know that a lot of people tune in, our worship leaders, and if you're a worship leader, you will at some point encounter some sort of worship songwriter, either in your song selections, yes, or maybe you yourself are a songwriter, and or have people on your team that are songwriters. And with all of that comes this amazing opportunity to be offended and have all of these terrible
Lots of questions. Based
on who owns what and all the legal and publishing world that seems to be shrouded in mystery and confusion and expectations, because we as musicians carry our heart on our sleeve and we want this, our babies, to do so well. And so your job for decades now has been to help artists and connect people with the right songs and to wade through all of the things. And so today we thank you so much for being here to help us sift through.
Yes.
Answer the mystery questions.
Answer the mysteries.
And so we have some...
I'm Yoda the Master.
Yeah.
You are today.
You are.
It's true. All right. So we have a lot of questions, but I just want to talk briefly before we get into it too much. Is there is a big difference between the laws of songwriting and then just like the social norms or the behavior, because I think a lot of people are looking for concrete answers, and those aren't always the same. So
yeah, it's a complicated subject.
Tell us a little bit about your like history in the industry so that people kind of have a background too.
Awesome. Well, I grew up in a really small town in Michigan and just had a dream of living in Nashville my whole life, which is maybe a little weird, but I just had music in me.
Yeah.
And moved to Nashville after college and found my way into my very first job in the music industry at a music publishing company called EMI Christian Music. And I knew nothing about publishing.
It's a pretty good
first
job.
Like, well, yeah. I love music and I love listening to, what I knew I loved was listening to songs and going, this song would be perfect for Stephen Curtis Chapman, or this song would be perfect for, you know, Newsboys, listening to the songs and picking out the lyrics and directing it to the right path. So I spent that first year getting to know, what is music publishing? What is a publisher? What do you even do? And learning that there's two different sides of publishing. You've got the creative end, which is the fun side of publishing, because you're on the creative end, you're signing writers, you're critiquing songs, and then you are also listening to songs and pitching songs to other artists. And then you've got the administration side, which that's a little more complicated side, but very important, because at the end of the day, if you don't remember anything else, that's the side that they pay you. That's the administration side is the accounting side, to make it really simple. They take care of making sure that your songs are being copyrighted, that they're being sent to your PRO, which is your performance royalty organization, BMI, ASCAP, CSAC. And they take care of licensing. So if somebody wants to, if somebody wants to record your song, the admin side of your publishing company is going to take care of that. And then they look after your accounting and they pay you and
those
all
are good
things.
Days.
So
good days,
two very separate entities of what a publishing company is, but very, very important, obviously.
Yeah. So say a guy or somebody at their church writes a song. What does
Which
that
happens.
Mean?
Happens all the time.
Yeah. So what do they need to know? You know, because they own publishing, but they also own writing. And how does that all work? Because you just have this song and you want to take it and have people sing it. And you're hoping somebody like Chris Tomlin or the Newsboys or whoever records it. What's that process look like?
I think it depends on what it is as if you're the... Are you a songwriter? Are you a worship leader? Are you both? Are you the worship pastor of your church? There's so many different layers, and I think knowing what the culture of your church is, and, you know, is your church wanting to record music?
Yeah.
If it's not a church that that wants to record music, then you kind of have to look at it a little bit differently. Then you have to look at it and go, okay, well, I'm a songwriter, and I'm gonna play these songs, hopefully, if your worship pastor lets you do that.
Yeah.
In the service, then you need to look after your own publishing. Whether that's I'm gonna try to get a publishing deal mm-hmm. with a major or an indie, and if you decide not to do that and you're just looking after your own songs, you are your own publisher. So you are the CEO of your own company. So if you are playing your song often at your church, you are going to want to, you know, take care of those.
Right.
So what do you say pub deal, which is a term here in town? What does that mean?
Pub deal.
Pub deal.
Yeah, if you are fortunate enough to get some interest in your songs, often I feel like in Nashville, it usually comes from a particular song, like... Mm-hmm.
Something does really
good, good
well.
Father. I remember that was like such a massive song, and all the publishers knew about it, and everyone was chasing after that one song because mm-hmm. we knew it was massive. And so, getting a publishing deal, like if you were getting a publishing deal with us, what that would look like.
And who do you work for?
Full Circle. Sorry, I didn't end up my story.
That's okay.
I started there.
Seth Mosley, who's an amazing producer and music mogul, if you want to say that.
I'm now the VP of publishing and A&R at Full Circle Music with Seth Mosley.
Awesome.
Yes. So at Full Circle, if we're going to sign you, we would, you know, obviously we're not signing you just for that one song. Now there's some companies that might do that, but we really want to serve the songwriter. We want to mm-hmm. help you grow and pull the gold out of you. We want to make sure that you're getting opportunities to write with other songwriters, with other artists. So you will, you know, we will discuss what that deal looks like. And it looks differently for every single songwriter. But for the most part, if you're a new songwriter, you're going to get, you know, a publishing deal with a publisher and split that. That's going to be, you know, usually it's 100% of the publishing, but you split that. 50% goes to the writer and 50% goes to the publisher portion of that. And then normally there you could possibly get a draw, which means, you know, that gets even more complicated.
Because people aren't necessarily getting paid to songwrite. And that's
not always, especially, and that's a whole other conversation in the churches, but for us, we have songwriters that most of our songwriters, we're on a draw, so we pay them, you know, a monthly amount for them to write a certain amount of songs a year. So that may be 10 mm-hmm. to 15 songs a year, which doesn't sound like a lot, but that's 10 songs, wholly written songs.
Yeah, completed
you two write a song and you're my songwriter, now you owe me 20 songs because
it's only half
mm-hmm. half of that.
Now those are our advance payments, right?
Those are advance payments.
So you're kind of getting a loan against what the money that song would earn.
Yep. So say you get $12,000, $1,000 a year, and then when you start having cuts and royalties start streaming in, that money goes directly to that. It's called recoupment.
Yeah.
It's a big word.
And so you keep chipping away and chipping away and chipping away. And we were just talking about this morning, how, you know, it's not easy to recoup that advance, because when you think about demo cost and, mm-hmm. you know, you finish a year, and then you go through another year, and so, and usually it's a 3-year deal, and that's $30,000
that you've paid out.
The publisher's paid out.
And the song has to make that much money mm-hmm. in order for it to keep going. And I think that's one thing that's really surprising when I moved to town, was I thought all these songwriters were making a lot of money, and that if you had a publishing deal with somebody, that meant that you were, you know, going to be doing great and things are working. But like most people don't make money writing songs.
I was just listening to an interview with Jason Ingram, actually, mm-hmm. who's, if you don't know Jason, I mean, he's like one of the top
Worship writers.
Yeah. And I don't completely quote me, but I do know the first year and second year, I don't think he had any cuts.
Mm-hmm. Which is
so normal, because you're if you're a new songwriter, mm-hmm. you're gaining your catalog, and I think people often think, oh, I'm gonna sign with a publisher and immediately start getting cuts. It may or may not happen. Like, we had a writer that we signed, and a month later he got a huge Chris Tomlin cut, was awesome, but that doesn't always happen that way.
Well, I think for a lot of churches that you guys are out there listening right now, I think that's one of the rumors I was hoping we could dispel today, which is that if I write a song, this is worth a lot of money, mm-hmm. and then it becomes very protective and
people aren't willing to.
So talk to us just a bit about how much does a song that gets becomes popular on iTunes or Spotify, and maybe it even gets a million views or million streams. What does that break down to monetarily? Do you have any ballpark you can give us there?
Well, I will say a million is kind of the mark, especially on Spotify. And now it kind of depends on the different levels of Spotify and what the streaming number is. But, if you own that song 100%. I mean, maybe $1,000. I'd have to.
So a million streams.
It might be less than that.
Maybe $1,000. Right.
Yeah.
So people get this in your mind.
That might be a little high.
Yeah. So
when we get our statement, it's 0.2 cents per stream. Depending on where.
And you think about, if you co-write that, then that's 500 and 500. And then if you have a publisher, then you're splitting that again. And then often people are like, well, why would I need a publisher? Well, a lot of times you wouldn't have that opportunity.
Yeah.
Had it not been for the publisher. Because a big part of what a publisher does is...
get them out there. Yeah.
We have relationships, and we can get you in the room with a Chris Tomlin or a Rita Springer or a Darlene Check. That's what we bring to the table. So you might not have the opportunity if you... So it's all about relationships.
Yeah.
And that is so key. And for a songwriter who's just getting started, that songwriter may not know the right people to... get the music to the right placements.
That really just brings you back, and I know for a lot of songwriters I know in town, even for myself, it brings you back to, especially when we're talking about ministry, why am I doing this?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And if it's to make money, the harsh reality is...
it's not going to happen.
The money is...
get a different job.
Yeah. Coming from a person that's been in the industry for 20 years.
And that's not to kill dreams, there are things that can happen, but... if your motivation is...
that can't be your motivation.
I don't want to ruin this for money or whatever. That just distorts everything really quick. It's got to be about the ministry.
It has to be. It has to. And I really feel it's a gift and a calling that the Lord places on your heart.
Yeah.
I don't think it's for everybody. And I think, again, another Jason Ingram slogan, but he talks a lot about, we can tell a lot about a songwriter by... what does your calendar look like?
Mm, yeah.
And if you're a true songwriter, you're probably writing every single day.
Yeah.
If you're only writing a couple times a month, then it's fine. It's probably just something that you like to do, but it's not your day in and day job. Yeah. Because if you are a true songwriter writing every single day, that's your job.
Right.
And that's what you do.
And at some level, that's what it takes to make a living.
It's hard work.
Yeah.
It's hard work. But I think with anything, it's like with anything that we do, hard work, and we were just talking about this, there's passion. And then when God calls you to something, it doesn't really matter what you're making. It doesn't really, he's going to take care of it all. And
it doesn't mean that a song that you write, that you wrote once, won't be tremendously impactful. It just may mean that that's not what you're going to do for your day job.
That's totally okay, because
it's
not for everybody, like you said.
Well, and I think I talk often about bloom where you're planted. So you may be writing for your church. Yeah. And that may be your main focus, is to write for your church.
Which is amazing. Churches need songs for their house.
It is so important. Yeah. And God may call you specifically just for that house for the rest of your life to write, encourage, and inspire, and bring people to Jesus in that specific congregation.
Yeah.
That may be your calling. Somebody else may be called to be, you know, another Chris Tomlin, or to you know, travel the world. And there's just, everybody has a specific lane that they're in. And I think being okay in that lane is going to keep you going a lot longer.
Yeah. It's the only way to have peace, because otherwise you're constantly comparing.
Striving for no, you know.
I think when we realize, I think God honors that too, when we're really blooming where we're planted, He gives us a little bit to, you know, kind of, how are you going to handle that area that you're in right now, you know, and then maybe you get to go a little bit further.
Yeah. Right.
It's stewardship.
Be faithful in the small.
Faithful in the small things. Exactly. Yeah.
So for that person that's wrote a song and they're hoping their worship team is going to do it, maybe they'll put on a recording. They're going to maybe make $1,000. How does that then divide out in a sense of like, okay, who's paying for what? The expenses, should I copyright this?
Yeah.
If you're not going to make that much money, or the chances are small, is it worth all the expenses? Because we mentioned demo costs, and how does then ownership start to change? Because if, say, your church wants to make a recording, who then owns the song, and how does that work, or how can it work?
Starts off by communication with your with your church. I think it really depends on what is the church.
Yeah.
What is their view on it? What do they hope to you know? Some churches don't necessarily want to put out music, and that's fine. Other churches really have a heart and passion to support their creative team and put out projects just for their church.
Which is amazing.
Which is awesome too. And then other churches want, you know, we wanna get signed to a label and take it further to the world, which you know, right then that's three different ways about this. Yeah. So I think number one is just having the conversation with your worship pastor and your leadership team at your church, and knowing what they, you know, what lanes, what's their vision for their church, how much they want to get in the weeds to publishing. You know, some churches may say, we will pay for the master, because there's a master, and then there's the publishing part
and
of
the
it.
Master's the
recording. Sound recording. Recording. So we'll pay for the master, and you can do whatever you want to do with your publishing. And then you're going to have some churches who are going to say, we're going to pay for the master. And then we also want to, you know, kind of control the publishing aspect of that as well. And then they may go through, most churches, if you're just starting out, you're going to want to go through, you know, an administrative company, whether that's music services or Watershed with Adam or Fuel. There's just several different administration companies that can do that specifically. And or, you know, there's also, you know, with the bigger companies as well, the Provident and Essential and Capital, you know, they are signing Integrity, Centricity. They are all signing lots of different churches that they are getting excited about, you know, certain songs. And so there's so many different layers to it, but I think it starts by having that conversation with your church, because they may say, well, you know, you are a worship pastor and you are on salary, and so we're paying you to write
this
songs.
This is part of your job.
This is part of your job, which would mean then that they own those songs that you are.
Which is mind-blowing. Like, so that's one thing for anybody who is on staff and getting paid. If you get paid to write the songs.
Right, if you have time in your day to write songs. And
take the money and run, because it's good money.
Right, if the church is going to pay you to write songs, like, wow, that's amazing. That's more than you're going to make, like, probably even getting a draw from a publishing company.
Possibly.
So if you're on salary.
Yeah. That's my, don't take my personal legal advice. We're here talking.
Every situation is different. Yeah, so I think, right. I think again, having that conversation with your church.
Yeah.
And with the leadership team and seeing, you know,
where they're at,
where do they want to take it? And what does that look like for them? And it may start off the first year, first or 2 years may look a certain way. And then probably every year just checking in with your church and, and seeing. So it just depends on, which option you choose, if you're getting paid for that specific song. Now you would get paid performance royalties. That's a whole nother.
Which is CCLI stuff, right?
Well, performance royalties is for you as a songwriter. Anytime you're playing that song out, yes, that's your BMI, CSAC. ASCAP, and then CCLI is a total separate
for church
for the churches. So that is definitely something that your church is probably already involved in. If they're not, they probably need to. And then you can also sign up individually to CCLI. So if you are a songwriter, worship leader, you can sign up.
Yeah,
probably should have that conversation with your church too, though,
because then who owns it and so part of what the churches or whoever you're working with, what they're getting for partial ownership is like the demo costs, is the like the publishing, because a church that's maybe well known would have other churches that they know their music or would push their music somehow through their platform of having 30,000 people at their church or whatever. So talk to us about like the cost, because I know like for making a demo or even to make the final recording, part of why they take ownership is those are expensive. So like average, I mean, if you can just shout out a range of like, what does a demo cost? What is a final master?
For like one song, how much does one song cost?
Demo costs are interesting now because there's so many producer writers that we are finding that we're rarely paying for demo costs because the producers
in the room,
right?
In the room, doing
but what
the
about
track.
The finished?
But
like,
the finished
master.
I mean, so for most part, like in our contracts, we do. You know, you may pay $500 for a demo.
A demo. Wow.
For a master, it just depends on who the producer is. I mean, that cost could be for the one particular song that could be, you know, $1,500. Up to $6,000. And that might just be for the producer. So, you know, you also have to think about mixing and mastering costs as well. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that's included and sometimes it's not. So that's another negotiating.
Wow.
Part so of your church.
$1,000 from Spotify, worth $6,000 for cost.
That's why you gotta go through CCLI and YouTube. Mm-hmm. That's why you wanna make sure your music is everywhere. Pandora, you wanna make sure that every single outlet that you can is has your music and you can provide.
And that's what the publisher is doing, right? They're pushing
they're
to all
get
of
it
us.
Out there and make sure it's out there.
So that's how they're earning their money.
Yes.
Awesome.
All day long.
That's your job. But you love your job.
It's our job to find money.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, well, now Multitracks are, you know, wants to be a part of this particular song. And then, you know, you partner with someone like Multitracks and you get a chance to make a revenue through that as well. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, it's a little bit different on the worship side, but I was even listening to... I Can Only Imagine, but the Jeremy Camp movie last night, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I was thinking, oh, it's great that those songs of his are now making more income based on
because they're in a
movie. Yeah. So a lot of songwriters right now are also worship leaders, and then they're also writing for TV and film because that's another royalty stream. Which, again, is probably, you know, with your songs writing for a church, one thing that you know a lot of songwriters will do is you can have they may work out a deal with their church where they give publishing to that one particular song that's making the record, and then everything else over here they can kind of do whatever they want.
Yeah.
So So that's another, that's option three or four that you can have.
687 options of how, and that's because it's not so, everything's cut and dry. It's all like negotiation and it's all, and so I kind of wanted to break down like, so say we co-write, and I think a lot of people have this concern, like say I write 80% of the lyrics, but she was on the piano. Does that mean I own 80% of the song and she owns 20%, or?
I have a very strong opinion about this. I just feel, and all of us at Full Circle believe this too, but I feel like if two people are in a room, it should be split 50-50. Yeah. It doesn't matter if you come in with 80% and
already written.
Yeah, already written, and you kind of finish it up. The song would not have been finished without your help.
Right.
And let's say you write all the time. So the next day, you guys get together and you write most of the song, and you only do 20% of it. So I just think it's all about relationships, and you don't really want to do anything that's going to burn bridges. And I see so many times where the whole splits of, well, I wrote this and I said this line and you did this. And it's like, really, I think it just makes it more complicated. So I think when you go into the room, again, this is something that it's just easier to have a conversation on the front end. Like, hey man, like that's, you know, let's just split, before we get started, let's just split this evenly.
Yeah.
And then you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
As you continue
and
on.
I think for the most part, I think that's how it is in Nashville. Yeah. The songwriters that we've met. And
in the pop market, it gets a little... it gets a little crazy, but for the most part, Nashville is in country industry too, is very equal splits.
Yeah.
All right, so then what about the people that then, because when you're done with the songwriting session, you've got usually a work tape, which is, you know, somebody playing one instrument and singing. But what about the people who then develop the song, the producers? Do they then own a third because they're the third person, or does it, are you paying them, or how does that sometimes work?
So it depends on the situation.
Once again,
there are times when the song is completed and you want to record, and you may hire a producer to, you know, whether that's that $1,500 to $6,000, you hire that producer to you know, make it sound amazing.
Yeah.
So that's one scenario. Then you also have scenarios where a producer may come in and they actually may change, they may help change the song to make it even better than it was.
Like chord progressions.
Yeah.
Words,
so you may
rearranging.
Yeah, you may you may have that conversation of, I mean, I had a situation recently where someone couldn't afford the producer. And the producer was like, hey, you know, I'll come in on this if I can have a piece of the publishing. And she was like, okay, that sounds good to me, because she needed to get the song done.
Yeah. Right.
And so, again, it's that conversation, the communication beforehand. But for the most part, if you're hiring a producer, they're just going to get paid for that.
Right. They're not going to have
They're not going to get publishing on that, unless they're in the room. When they're writing, which happens a lot now, where you've got the artist and the, you know, lyricist, and then you've got the track guy who also becomes the producer.
Yeah.
So in that sense,
you'd split it thirds.
You would probably split it thirds now if you if you're wanting it to, you know, take it to another level. Like you might have that producer. You might pay that producer more to finish up the track. So.
Okay.
Again, it just depends on the scenario.
So there's no hard and fast rules. Once again, it's just working it out.
I mean, there are some guidelines along the way.
Right.
And I think everybody knows those standards. So
I did want to talk about copyrights, because one of the questions everybody asks is, should I copyright my song?
Well, by law, once you have written a song, whether it's paper, audio, it's copyrighted.
Okay.
Now, if you have lots of songs and you're worried about someone recording a song that's similar to that, or, you know, if it's not copyrighted, it will be harder to fight if if there's an official legal issue, they'll be really hard to fight that in a court. So that's why having your songs copyrighted is important. Now, if you have an administrator, they're going to help you with that. So
you don't have to go do it all
yourself. You don't have to do it yourself. But you can do a group of songs. I believe it's copyright.gov. You can do a group of songs for like $35. I think if you are singing the songs at your church, I would definitely
look into
make sure that you're copywriting your songs.
Interesting. So is there a copyright police force that goes out and like say somebody just blatantly steals your song? What do you do about it?
Yeah, but how are you even gonna know?
I don't know.
Well, you find out. Somebody plays you a recording and you're like, hey, that's my song.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because there's a couple out there right now, but it's really kind of, nobody really talks about them. I know that there was one, a big one with Katy Perry recently, but I don't know.
Unless the song goes really big.
It has to be a massive song in order for that to happen.
And so what would that process look like? I mean, you're talking about lawsuit, or are you talking about, how does that?
Could be. I don't know. I've never actually been a part of one in my 25 years, which I think that says a lot.
Yeah. People get worried about it, and we're like,
people need to stop worrying about it. I think one of the things that publishers, that we often, you will hear people often say, we don't accept unsolicited material.
Yeah.
And part of the reason we say that is for that reason. Because they're, I've never experienced it, but I do know people who have, a publisher has listened to songs, maybe critiqued the song, and then maybe by accident, because it just happens, maybe one of the writers wrote a song with the same title and similar.
Yeah.
Similar sound or whatever, and then it comes out the next year and that co-writer or that writer might come back and say, I sent you that song in December 2nd of 2017. It's the same song. Again, that doesn't happen that often, but it can.
Well, talk about why, because I think it's one thing people don't maybe understand is that how many songs are written each day.
in Nashville alone.
And then artists don't necessarily want to do other people's songs.
And I will say one thing about that. When you're writing your songs, just make sure there's a date on there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's you're keeping your songs through, organization is really key. So whether it's organizing your songs through Dropbox or Boxnet or Songspace, it's a really great resource to house your songs on. But always having a date that you wrote that song. And if you wrote it with someone else, just making sure you have their first and last name, their email address, their phone number, as much information as possible if you were ever to need to get in touch with that songwriter again.
Wow.
What was the question? Sorry.
How many songs do you think are written a day?
Oh my goodness.
Even just here in Nashville.
Thousands. Yeah, because there's hundreds of songwriters.
Yeah.
And you think about that's Christian, pop, country, and then you've got people writing for sync, TV and film.
And then most of those songs won't ever see the light of day.
Mm-hmm. So like yesterday, that's
how it is.
Yeah,
that's why you have a publisher, so that we're listening. We're constantly listening. It's part of what I was doing yesterday. I mean, Seth, Tommy, our crew. I think they probably wrote 5 songs.
Just yesterday.
We have a small.
Oh my goodness.
We have a small group of songwriters, but they all wrote one song, or maybe they were working on another particular song that they had started. That's just in one day. So a lot of times what we would do, we would have like a listening meeting at the end of the month, and some of the songwriters are writing once or twice a day. So that's a lot of songs.
60 songs.
Maybe they pick out their 5 favorite or their 10 favorite. We whittle it down to 5, and then they do really great demos on those 5 songs. That's how we did it in the country.
Wow.
It's a little bit different
here
in the worship Christian world, but normally you're not going to go to that full demo process unless everyone agrees, publishers, everyone agrees that this is a really great song, we need to demo this one.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, per
thousands.
Yeah.
So write a lot and don't spend a lot of money on each one.
And don't be worried about it.
That's amazing.
Well, I think, I mean, Mia Fields is so great about this. She's, because it's hard, because again, it's we're dealing with creatives, and this is your baby. We, as publishers, get that. But I love Mia Fields, how she talks often about how you just have to write the song. You know, that may writing the song, you may not finish it that day. You may have to come back a couple of times.
Yeah.
But writing that song, and then you gotta let it go. You gotta trust the process. If you have a publisher, trust the process. Trust your publisher, and let them take it wherever it needs to go.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But it's hard to do. And you know, with my team, we have monthly meetings, so we will. I mean, I talk to them every day, but we also have monthly song meetings where we'll go back through the catalog. And we'll kind of A-B it with, these are the people who are looking right now. Is there anything that could go, you know, to one of these artists?
Well, and then with a church, like, they've got people writing and, you know, how they probably have to have a team of people that go through and are like, what are we going to do with these songs? Are we going to play them on Sunday? Or, and then the writer has to be willing, like you said, to let it go and be like, well, it might not sound the same that how I thought it would sound in my head, you know, when the worship team.
That's the hard part. Yeah.
And that's a big deal at worship teams. Like, I want it to sound sweet. Like, how do you handle control? Like, where does that start and stop?
it's your relationship.
Let it go.
Yeah, let it go. I mean, if someone's wanting to cut your song, let them cut your song.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I think my guys probably get tired of me saying, write another, just let them cut it, write another one, you know, write another song tomorrow that's even better than this one that is getting cut. And yeah, I mean, if you can have some creative opportunity into that song as they're producing, that's great, but you may or may not have that.
Mm-hmm.
So you do have to just let it go and let whoever's in charge of that project do their thing. I mean, that's the part of songwriting. Like, it's not gonna, that's why I love going to even the Bluebird, because you hear them do their cuts and you hear the song differently, because it's like they created it differently than what the actual
how the recording sounds with the artist on it.
Again, I feel like that's more in that world. We're in the worship Christian world. For the most part, I think you're creating a content that sounds pretty close to what the actual.
Have you had any of your writers that were just like totally frustrated that their song got taken a different direction? Or
yes. Maybe not so much since I've been at Full Circle, but over my years, there's definitely been times when it's like, oh, doesn't sound very good.
Oh no.
But I mean, it's a big artist, so you're like,
and really, and some of that's their role. Like, your role is to write, and then like, that's,
well, because you're writing the song. I mean, it, as a songwriter, if you're not the artist, you're really writing the song for somebody else.
Yeah.
So you do have to let it go, and you have to trust that, okay, this artist is gonna sing this song for the rest of their life.
Right.
Yeah. And they need it. In order for them to be able to sing it, they need to be able to sing it the way
they want it.
They want it. And it's,
and for church, like for churches, then if you wrote a song and you're on a team of people, but you may not be leading that song, so however the leader is going to lead it best for the congregation and get the congregation to be a part, because they got to sing it like, this is coming from my heart.
And for you to be okay with that.
Yeah.
You know, for I love the fact that our churches, you know the person that wrote the song, but then you hear somebody else
sing it.
And it's a little bit of a different, same version, but it's their style is different.
Yeah.
And it's fun to see that. And I think, you know, it goes back to celebrating everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, part, I think, of being a songwriter is celebrating each other.
Yeah.
And you may be like, oh, I wouldn't have done it that way. I would have done it this way. But at the end of the day, it's like, it's not really about you. Yeah. It's about leading people into the presence.
Yeah.
And that's what it's about. And if right. that person might sing it differently and bring somebody in that maybe you wouldn't be able to, you know,
yeah. right.
do it the same way.
Yeah.
That makes it better. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. Yeah. Thanks for having me. Yeah. This was fun.
Good.